Justice for the human family, we demand it. Justice, truth, freedom, equality's a must. Us decolonization of the planet, so bust this. People be the power, now we build the justice. Pouring ancestral divinations, how we build the justice. Welcome to Planet to the podcast, build the justice. Build the justice, build the justice, build. Is to add on or do away with justice.
Welcome to Building Justice, a podcast by Sacramento State's Center on Race, Immigration, and Social Justice, Chris J. We explore critical issues affecting our communities with the hopes of creating a healthier and more just world. My name is Richard Falcon. I am the founder and artistic director of Teatro Nahual, and we are here with a number of my friends who have graciously offered their time as we talk about theaters of color here in our Sacramento region. And with that, we have Nicole, Angela, Kimberly, and Angel. And Nicole, and we'll start with you, if you don't mind introducing yourself. We'll pop over to Angela, we'll pop over to Kimberly, and then we'll pop over to Angel.
All right, Nicole. Wonderful. Thank you for having us. My name is Nicole Limon. I'm actually a lecturer here at Sacramento State in the Department of Theater and Dance, but I was also a student here as well. And I am currently the artistic director and founder of Matriarchy Theater and a resident artist with Teatro Espejo, which is one of our Chicano Latino theater companies here, and a freelance director and dramaturg and intimacy worker, intimacy coordinator. So I do a lot in the theater world, but I'm definitely from the lineage of Teatro Espejo, which was a theater company on the campus of Sac State for over 30 years.
Angela, would you introduce yourself?
Aloha, everyone. Thank you for having me today. My name is Angela D. Alforque. I grew up in South Sacramento. I'm an alumni of Sacramento State University and also a former part-time professor there in the theater and dance department. It's where I started teaching. I'm primarily a dance and theater practitioner and educator. So I started teaching at Sac State. I was also an ethnic theater and theater arts professor at Sacramento City College for 10 years. I taught at Parker School in Hawaii, and most recently just started teaching as a drama specialist, performing arts specialist at Courtyard School here in Sacramento. So I have taught everyone from university age to preschool, and really interested in the connection between theater and human development and community development. So in the community, I've also worked with the Sinagdala Theater and Performing Arts Association, so Filipino-American theater group, dance with Ebo Okokan, Afro-Cuban folkloric dance group, and currently study with Hula O Kapono Kalani Ohana dance group as a hula practitioner. So that's me.
I love it. Thank you, Angela. Thank you so much. Kimberly.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Marshall. Thank you again for having us. It's amazing that we've been able to bring everybody together like this. I am a theater practitioner, a sculptor, a writer. I am the artistic director and founder of the Macbeth Project with my co-founder, Keitu Masala, who was unable to be with us today. We founded this project. Next year will be our fifth year, really trying to bring people together under the guise of Shakespeare and social practice art and Afrofuturism is really what we kind of really evolve our work around. I'm a theater practitioner. I'm also a filmmaker. I'm an art fellow from the Crocker Art Museum. I've done a lot of work, social practice work in the community here in Sacramento, California. And again, just thankful to be a part of this. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kimberly, for being here with us. Now over to, and I'm going to ask, Angel, do you prefer us as Angel or Angel for what we're talking about?
Yeah, so I go by Angel. I went by Angel for many years, but I'm reclaiming Angel. gracias for having me. My name is Angel Rodriguez, and I'm an alumnus of Sacramento State as well. I graduated in 2017. I got my bachelor's in theater. And that's what I do. I'm a freelance artist. I'm an actor. I'm a theater maker. I'm an educator. I'm a producer. I'm a translator, and I am an IT dude because I also took a lot of computer engineering classes at Sac State. I've been so lucky to work with so many artistic organizations here in the area, and I'm thankful to be here right now.
I know we're thankful that you're here too. This is so exciting to me to be able to be here in space with all of you. Now let's talk about theaters of color. Nicole, I'm going to come over to you. You are the one who brought all these wonderful people together, not just those that are here, but others. Tell us about theaters of color, what inspired you, and where you are hoping that this will lead.
Yeah, so Sacramento Theaters of Color was started probably in my mind and heart a long, long time ago. But the stars aligned this year to really have us come together in person. Sacramento Theaters of Color is really about our theaters of color here in Sacramento who have a very long history and legacy of producing works by, for, and about our own cultural communities, coming together intentionally. I think we're already out there supporting each other, cheering each other on, going to each other's shows. We know artists from each organization, but sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own projects that we don't always have time to go to other projects, right? Because it takes a lot to self-produce. A lot of our companies are self-producing these works. So this year we wanted to really come together. To really, I'm the founder of Matriarchy Theater, and one of our taglines is "We are here," right? Especially as a company that is leading for to amplify voices by women and women-identifying peoples and Indigenous voices, right? So for Sacramento Theaters of Color, it was a similar thing. We are collectively here, and right now, as we are in this post-2020 world where we had a racial reckoning, a lot of us are already have already been creating works that center people of color, that center our communities. And as we're going into these sort of DEI initiatives all over the place, Sacramento Theaters of Color for me was a reminder to ourselves that we've been doing this work and a reminder to others that we have been here. We have been doing this work. We will continue doing this work. And the more that we are supporting each other intentionally, the stronger that we are. And it's not necessarily about supporting each other with resources, because I feel like we already do that, but it's just be about being intentional, being visible, and reminding people that we're here. We've been doing this work. We'll continue doing this work. And we are an ecosystem that works together.
And that's so true. I can tell you for Teatro Narwhal, though I had envisioned like you had this bringing together so many wonderful organizations to do this. Really, it was because of some of our people who came before me, like Professor Pickett with Teatro Espejo, that then encouraged me and then allowed, well, he didn't do it from an allowed standpoint. He actually encouraged and said, "Let me open a door for you. Let me come in here." And the same thing, because I performed, had an opportunity to work and perform with Celebration Arts, for example, with them, with wonderful James Wheatley and Myrtle, bless her soul. And to hear and see what they were doing, and recently in interviews, as people were talking, "Well, Mr. Wheatley, what do you think about DEI?" or "Professor Pickett, what do you think about DEI?" And both of them were just like, "We're already doing the work. This isn't new." So I don't know. I don't know. What do y'all think?
Absolutely. And I thank you for bringing up Myrtle because she was the one who really brought me back into theater when I was in a student at Sac State. I'm also a Sac State student. And we forget about Myrtle. We forget about our elders who really brought us into this space, into this artistic world, and supported us when other people didn't. I think Celebration Arts is an amazing opportunity that we've had, especially for the Macbeth project. They gave us our first opportunity to do our first production there. And it's a testament to partnerships. And our whole mission is built on partnerships. We can't survive without our partnerships. And that's what is so galvanizing about our community. Instead of working in these silos, working together and partnering together. And like Nicole said, it's not necessarily monetary resources. It's being present and accountable when you have that opportunity to be so. And it's been an amazing experience so far. One of the things I would love to bring up is we were doing a production at Celebration Arts this August. And when Nicole brought us together for our first meeting for theaters of color, she bought out half of our house for one of our productions without even telling us, right? And that's putting your foot forward. That's putting your heart forward before you even talk about loving something. You've shown your love before you even started. So thank you again for that, Nicole. But that shows how our partnerships mean so much to us and how it galvanizes our hearts. And it helps us continue with the work that we do because it is really hard work. And we're working in environments that don't want us oftentimes, who don't want us to be a part of their experience. And so we're trying to bring something that's part of our heart, part of our culture. And so when we have these artists who come together and love on us, it's so critical and it's so important.
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear, Kimberly. And I think, you know, Nicole, as you kind of mentioned, and Kimberly, you brought up with you, as we put together our groups, it is hard to get out to see each other's work. But I think, you know, I'm trying to be more intentional on doing that. And also to be able to bring forward, you know, young voices into this too. I got to tell you, Angel, when he helped with us to produce our very, very successful Lydia in here, if not for the young voices that were there saying, hey, we want to do this and this, you know, and to, so we can be represented. I love opening those doors. And I think that's what all of us really do in here is to open those doors. So let's talk about the theaters of color. Who and how do we reach those organizations that still have yet to hear about what we are doing, that we are all here, so that they also can know that there is a home for them?
I think the education part is really important. There are a lot of us who went to college together. And I forgot to mention, I'm a guiding matriarch with Matriarchy Theater. And I went to school at the same time as Kimberly and Nicole. And our introduction to this world of being able to network with one another and support one another in our work, for me at least, it started in college to go across different communities and see what we were doing. So as an educator, and many of us are, being able to develop audiences to tell our kids in our classes, our own personal children, and the kids in our classes, and the young people in our, you know, college and university courses that come to us who are not theater majors, right? Most of the students I have are not, you know, thinking about being theater majors, but growing an audience and having people appreciate that there is not just one way to have theater in a community or in a profession, that there are so many ways to do it. There are so many ways to look at it, so many languages and dialects to hear in theater. And that education part is really important because I remember when we were the young voices. I remember when we were the new ones on the scene and coming up, and we've got to pass that on and turn it over so that there is a constant stream of people growing up and loving theater. Maybe they didn't know they wanted to be theater majors, but one of my favorite things is converting a non-major into a major. It's like welcoming to the church of theater and dance, right? And you convert the folks. And whether or not they become practitioners, whether or not they become professionals getting paid for the work, we will always, always need an audience. We'll always need supporters. And we'll always need that next generation of teachers and practitioners who support the work. So the education part to me has always been very important.
And I would like to say that I'm a product of that conversion. I was a computer engineering major, and I remember watching Teatro Espejo productions over the summer, and there was There was one, I watched Zoot Suit at Sac State, and I remember as soon as the cast came out, I was in tears immediately because from all the theater I had watched up until that point, it was a predominantly white cast. And up until that point, I watched people that looked like me on stage. And for the first time, I felt represented, and I thought, oh my goodness, I too could be in a show like this. And continuously watching the Teatro Espejo productions made me get this itch that I could not scratch fully until I converted. So yeah, I'm also one of those people that were inspired, and now I'm on this journey of also being, this theater maker and an educator, trying to inspire the kids and another new generation of theater makers, the same way you all inspired me.
Yeah, and I think that's to me what teatro, which is my lineage, that's the most important thing is that teatro is familia, and that is really the place where I start, right? That we are storytellers and we are family, and we are there to create a place for people where they know they are cared for, right? Well, we're going to tell some stories. So it's not just art for art's sake. It's not even art isn't always the center of everything. Art is sometimes like the system that we use where the heart is the center. So for something like matriarchy theater, for example, I'm not building matriarchy theater for myself. I'm building it in the hopes that in 7 to 10 years, I pass it on to somebody else. And I've built it for the community. I've built it for people to have opportunities, but also to show them all the different ways that we can tell stories through theater. So, same thing, Angel. When I was a student, I wasn't getting quote unquote main stage shows, right? I wasn't even getting an ensemble piece or a thing where I had no lines in those shows. I just wasn't even, I did not have the body type or the phenotype to be cast in those things. But I got opportunities with Teatro Espejo. I got opportunities with Sun Ancestors Players. I got opportunities with Kimberly Marshall here, who directed me in a play at Celebration Arts, right? Through the community seeing that we could do this work. We were talented, we had skills, we were great storytellers, and making a place for us. So I think that's really important that we're showing younger generations, but also just younger artists or emerging artists, doesn't matter how old you are, that there are so many ways to tell stories. We can do a main stage, quote unquote, type of show, but we have social justice theater, we have devised theater, we have physical theater, right? We have choral poetry, choral theater. We don't even have to be unified in one style. We can mix all of those together, right? And these are things that I learned really do through doing the art form of teatro and collective creation. So I think it's once, these our community members are introduced to the various things that are possible in theater, their eyes really open. I know in the most recent show I did, Just a Pinch, I had an actor, we had a reunion this Sunday, and they said they had such a great time. They really want to do more devised theater, right? That they've really finally found something that was for them. And they had been wanting to do theater, but it was just kind of like a little bit intimidating. And then they realized, oh, there's this other pocket and corner of theater that really they loved. So really bringing those to the stage in Sacramento more intentionally, what stories are we telling, I think is really important. And I think that this group here is very intentional about how we curate the stories we're telling. Yeah.
And adding to that, because having studied in predominantly white theater, San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles during the years, and actually having spent a good portion of my life not growing up with my culture just because of my family dynamic in there, I didn't, and plus the fact that I am white passing, it was somewhat a little bit easier for me to get cast. But I did not realize until, frankly, 2006, what I had been missing when meeting Professor Pickett, when being offered an opportunity by an ally, Ray Tatter with California Stage, to be able to finally produce something that was relevant to my culture. And it inspired me to want to learn more about my culture. And I got to tell you, if not for being cast as Diego Rivera in the Spanish language version of Frida Kahlo, my Spanish would be lousy. I mean, it's Spanish. My Spanish is lousy right now anyway. Plus, I'm ill when I try to do that, you know? But, oh my gosh, I got to study my culture. I got to study my language. And so for me, it then prompted, what other opportunities can I give to others to pass on what was given to me? And that's what excites me about this Theaters of Color, the fact that we get to pass on and open and offer opportunities. And that's why I was kind of asking the question, who else yet do we have to reach within the communities that would be benefit, that could benefit by what we're doing?
I'd like to chime in a little bit on that. I think a broader spectrum of artists, we tend to, like, again, we work in silos. We work with the same types of people, the same types of artists, the same age groups, the same colors, the same you know, spectrum of people. And broadening just the type of artists that we work with means such a big difference, can make such a big difference. Incorporating, you know, different genres into your work, like incorporating Afrofuturism into Shakespeare, it brings a younger culture. It brings a culture that loves superheroes. It brings a culture that loves space and exploration, and it brings that kind of culture in addition to our African culture that we embed into the work, and, you know, speaking this beautiful language of Shakespeare. But it's trying to reach so many different aspects, and remembering, like, this project, Theaters of Color, brings so many different people together, and it's not just theaters of color. It's people of color from different experiences, right? So we have, like, you could talk about three different African-American theaters that are part of this experience, and we all do different, vastly different work. And that's what's so important, is that there's space for everybody, and that bringing this together gives space for everybody, and making sure that everybody understands that it's open to not just the traditional theaters that we've experienced in our history and our culture. It's open to anything you can think of as theater. Come and be a part of it. This is for you.
Yeah. Can I just add to that, that I think that we are collectively doing a really great job of showing these things that we're talking about, right? Showing the way that theater can expand. Because sometimes, audiences are very loyal to one theater or one type of theater. They want to see the same thing over and over again, right? I'm not like that, not as a theater watcher or a theater maker. And so often when I'm doing shows, I'm a little secretive about what the show is about, because I really want to push people's expectations. I want them to be excited about coming to see something, but not quite sure about what they're going to see. So that way, when they're looking at an Indigenous, Latina, female theater maker, they're not putting me or the theater company in a box, right? For just a pinch, people were like, I wasn't expecting that. They didn't really know what they were coming for, but they knew that they wanted to see theater. They were supporting this theater company, or they were supporting the artists involved. You know, I do theater through an Indigenous lens, but it's for everybody. So our cast was incredibly diverse, right? Not just a colorful diversity, but a diversity of sensibilities, right? Of bodies, of beauty standards, of all of these things. And I think that when we put that on stage, right, we're allowing people like a young Angel to see themselves, right? I know that I saw somebody on stage. I was like, oh, there's a brown woman dancing. I can do this, right? So yes, being very willing to push the boundaries and push what the expectations are, and not put any of the theaters of color in a box, right? That we can do what we want. And sometimes we're, you know, sometimes the community is going to come out and support it, and sometimes they're not. But I think that I know myself as an artist that my center and my core is my integrity. And as long as I'm sharing the story with integrity, then I'm okay with it. I don't care if there's 10 people or 100 people, right? Because I'm sharing it in a good way. Making my ancestors proud. I think that's one thing. And then I'm gonna pause and let
I just want to say, I love everything y'all are saying. Y'all keep mentioning opportunity, and that's what's resonating with me right now. Opportunity, because, you know, in school we were given all these tools and all this knowledge, beautiful, awesome toolkits for us to go out in the world and use. And then you get out into the world, and then they don't cast you, or you're not getting into these organizations that they trained you to get into. And that's, I think that's where, you know, theaters of color and these organizations that are a part of theater of color are the ones that actually saw me when I got out of school. And that's where I got to, you know, use all my tools and all my creativity and all my passion and everything artistic about me. I've been able to play with so many of those organizations in this collective. That's why it's so, that first meeting that we had, it was so exciting because there were so many other people like me there present that also struggled with me and my generation of people that graduated from Sac State that were also struggling to get into other organizations that we thought were the goals. But really, these organizations are the ones where we have the most fun and the most, we've achieved so much more in these organizations in our artistic journeys, because this is where we found home, you know. And Nicole, you brought family. And that's really what it's felt like since the beginning, where you know, I was not that I was recruited, but the door was open and I came in and it's like, you are so welcome. Come on in. There's all these projects, all these opportunities. We're going to do awesome things. And we have been doing awesome things. So I'm so excited for this next step for all of us and how we now as a collective continue to push ourselves to these new, not necessarily new academic graduates, but these new artists that are hungry to play. Because I think that to me, when you bring in a new person, regardless of the age, regardless of where they're at in life, you bring in a new person that's been having that itch that I had, that we've all had, and you give them this platform to play, that's the most satisfying thing for me, that I had, I helped someone get that little artistic outlet, that scratch that we want to have. So that I'm so excited for the next our next level of what we do here in the area with the arts.
I think because I've spent so much of my work and my career doing that thing, Angel, of just being inspired myself and wanting to do, getting that fire and wanting to do all the projects and meet all the people and be in all the shows. And like, there's also that, yes, and there's also a part of me that feels very protective of the people and the artists in our community that just want to remind folks about making, you know, intentional and discriminating choices about putting all of your energy out into the world, because the burnout factor is also real, mm-hmm. I think, in our communities, because we want so much to do so many things for so many people in our communities. And being able to just really have a way to curate where we put our energy so that we can sustain the work over time, I think is very important. Because I've you know, you and I have met each other more recently, but I have seen Nicole and Kimberly over the course of their careers give absolutely everything, like everything, to their students, to their families, to their communities, to their professors, to their mentors, and, you know, and myself included. That's how we were raised to do it, right? If, you know, you go 110% or you don't show up at all, like whether it's a protest or a production meeting, that's just how we were raised. And I think there's just something also to pass on about, we don't have to go full throttle all the time. There is never ending work. The work is, the social justice part of it is always going to be there. And so that community part where we're sharing it and not just carrying the burdens on individual shoulders, I think is really important so that we can stay in it for the long run, right?
And I think all of us are in it for the long haul. Absolutely. Go ahead, Nicole.
Oh, I was just, yes, absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, I took quite a break from theater after my first son was born. He was born in 2006, and I made an intentional choice to take 5 years off from theater because I wasn't the theater mom who could bring him to the theater. I totally supported my friends doing that, but I just wasn't in a place where I felt like I could do that. So it took me some time to get back into really doing my theater regularly. I became, you know, a painter during that time, a very bad painter. When I came back to the theater, I was in a couple of shows with Manuel and Richard. We did La Pastorela de Sacramento. We did the original one. So we originated those roles. We came on the second year and did it again. And then the Pastorela grew, you know. And but around 2015 or 16, Manuel Pickett met with me. We had lunch and he basically said, Nicole, I'm so tired. I'm so tired, you know, of basically running Teatro Espejo on his own. And he basically asked me for help to help him sustain Teatro Espejo so that it wouldn't die. And so at that time, I was going to found Matriarchy Theater because I had just left this full-time gig, this job that I had. And I told him, okay, I'll give it 5 years. I'll put a hold on my theater company and I'll help you for 5 years. And because we're not going to let Teatro Espejo die. And yeah, it was him reaching out to say, please help me. And Dr. Pomo saying, please help him. Please help us. And here we are. We have a board of directors. We're a nonprofit now. You know, we're getting grants. It is sustaining. And then, almost to the day, 5 years later, I was able to start Matriarchy Theater. And then what a gift from the board of directors to say, we want to produce your first play, Matriarchy Theater. Right? Teatro Espejo produced our first play. I wasn't expecting it, but that is family. That is support. That is collectivism. That is sustaining, you know, companies, legacies, and moving us into the future. So you have this company, Teatro Espejo, that is this legacy company. We're going to be celebrating 50 years soon, saying, yes, we also support our artists to go and create their own work, right? Because Nicole Brewer, who I studied anti-racist theater with, says scarcity is a lie. Right? Scarcity is a lie. There's room for everybody. And I think that's such a great model that Teatro Espejo said, yeah, yes, and we're going to do both of these things. And so, you know, there is room for all of us to do our work here and sustain it. I think you're right, Angela, together, right? Bringing that energy together.
What an amazing story. And how great to be here with all of you as we have these conversations. All of you are so important to me and the work that I do, and I appreciate you. So as we bring to this podcast to the end, I want to kind of open it up for any last thoughts, stories you might want to bring to this, especially for the audience that is listening to this, which are primarily, of course, the students of Sac State, those communities that work into Chris J, Center for Race, Immigration, and Social Justice. What do we want to impart upon them as we talk to them as we have so far about theaters of color and what things may hold for the future? And why don't I start with you, Kimberly?
I would say that, you know, the biggest challenge in any of our lives is finding our purpose, finding what motivates us, finding what grounds us and what gives us hope and love in our hearts. And I would say that if you haven't had an opportunity in theater that has given that to you, please reach out to somebody because it's there. It's there for everybody. There's an opportunity in theater for every single person on the planet, regardless of what you think you can or cannot do. There's something that you would love an opportunity to experience, an opportunity to grow, just an opportunity to play, an opportunity to think of something in a new light, to experience something in a new way. And as we grow as humans, to continue that journey, that there's always opportunities to play and to experience, and to don't give up on that. regardless of what somebody tells you and how what restrictions people try to put on you.
Oh, and they always try to put the restrictions on us, don't they? Oh my
God. Absolutely.
Angel, what would you like to say to our audience?
I don't know what I graduated from college quite a while ago. I don't know what's being taught. Regardless of what's being taught, I remember what I was being taught. I think the biggest lesson I've learned from the time that I was in college and being out in the community for this past decade, has been to not be afraid to embrace your culture and your identity. The integrity, your personal integrity is so important, and it's so important to not lose that. And don't be afraid to reach in into that part of yourself and find the art in it. I remember when I got out of college, my intention was to make a career in PWIs, and that was my goal. And I'm so glad it didn't go that way, because the amount of the way my craft was molded by these organizations that align with my cultures and my identities have given me a much more satisfying life. And I was so afraid to audition for Teatro Espejo things in the past because of what I was taught in school. But this has been the best journey to mold me. Teatro Espejo and Teatro Nahual and the opportunities that these organizations gave me were the reasons why I've entered into PWIs. So without me reclaiming myself, I don't know what would have turned out of myself. So it's, I guess my message is just do not deny your identity. And I know that's sometimes harder, it's easier said than done, but it's been the best thing I've achieved.
Thank you, Angel. You certainly have mentored me along the way too. And I appreciate so much of our relationship. Angela, what about you?
I had a very unique upbringing as an artist in this town. You know, I'm from an immigrant family, first generation born, American born, Filipina American woman who grew up in South Sacramento. There's a lot of intersections of creativity and culture in that. And I was very fortunate to have, you know, I started dance lessons at 2. And, you know, been on stage all my life. My dad, Sonny Alforque, he was the founding artistic director of a Filipino American theater company. We didn't have an Asian American student theater at Sac State, but I was adopted into Sons and Ancestors and into Teatro Espejo. One of the first things I ever directed was at Celebration Arts and a musical I did way back in high school. So I was very much nurtured in the bosom of Sacramento theaters of color as a dancer and as an artist, as a choreographer. Upon graduation, Angel, I too had dreams of going to Broadway and becoming a big Broadway star, and did not realize that they were not looking for me. I was spoiled by the nurturing I had in Sacramento and didn't realize the racial politics of going into theater as a profession until I was out there. And I still deal with it as an educator, as a practitioner, as someone who's worked professionally in casting for television and film and Broadway shows. It is making progress, but there's so much progress to make that we, you know, the fight is still there. So in the lesson of all of it, you know, in the past, the most inspiring thing that has happened just most recently, and again, working with the littlest students I've ever had. And we were talking about emotions and actions associated with different emotions. And one of my littlest ones said, "Dr. A, I know how to do an emotion, love." And she charged at me with these arms, open arms. And then I had a pile of preschoolers in theater class doing love. It wasn't that they were feeling it or that they were looking for it. They were doing it. So that is now starting to become my motto of being an artist in the world, is to do love.
Wow. It sounds like you're doing love very well. And those young children were actually, wow, I don't know. My heart's full. So, you know, let's go to your comadre, Nicole. And Nicole, bring us home. What do you want to add?
Oh my goodness. I feel like Angela did. I love that. Doing love, right? Yes, because it's an action. And to act is to do as well, right? I think for me, it's something that I already share with my Sac State students, whether it's in a lecture or one-on-one, a couple of things. One, I tell them, always tell them, don't say no to yourself. Go give it a try. Maybe someone else will say no if it's an audition or an interview, but don't take that opportunity away from yourself. Just try. Right. Because I wish I would have had that, that sort of mentorship when I was younger. I did have mentorship, but it was like different, right? Another one, and this one is really huge, is we can make our own, right? We make our own theater companies, we make our own stories, we build our own plays, right? From our perspective, from our abilities, from our pocketbook, right? But when I was a student there, I was very much that I want to be in Romeo and Juliet, right? Because it was my favorite and I had seen millions of productions of it. And but then I was introduced at Teatro Espejo. I got a part in, it was my first play at Sac State. And I was like, social justice theater? Oh, wow. And then the next show was like a collective creation device space. I was like, oh, wow, right? And all of these, and then Sun's Ancestors. So being introduced to that theater was life-changing for me, but also life-affirming. Right? I can do this. We can do this. Our stories matter. We matter. The theater that we create is necessary theater. And so for the first several years after my graduation from college, I sustained myself on my theater that I wrote with theater duo, Movimiento Molcajete. It was a two-woman show, and we wrote everything. We toured everything. And believe me, there are audiences for all of our stories, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter the production value. Look at Teatro Campesino, right? On the backs of trucks, on the side of the picket line, there are audiences for our stories, no matter how big or how small. So keep telling your stories. Keep telling your stories. Keep telling your stories. Yeah.
Necessary theater indeed, Nicole. Thank you so much. And I want to thank all of you for being here with me and allowing me to share space with you and to share these stories. And to you out there, thank you for listening. We hope our ongoing conversation sparks understandings, empathies, and motivation to join the struggle for a better future for all.
All the penalties and the rewards based on the actions. Now, time for building justice. Building justice. Time for building justice.
You just listened to the Building Justice Podcast. The information contained in this podcast represents the views and opinions of the hosts and guests and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Sacramento State University or Chris J.